Oh, Kirinko gets the call. So second on Kirinko. So that's the first foul of the half. Both teams have one foul now. Biden at the line here. His first free throws. Biden makes the first. 7 points for him. Biden was a factor in the first half. Second free throw, and that's off. Rebounded by Cook. So Cook's got the ball, guarded by Wags in the right backcourt, coming to the center now. Cook pulls up for a long jumper. Yes, from Cook. For Cook. It's a 20-point laser lead. Now Wags with the ball, 15-52 and counting. Blazers really need some tough defensive stands here to get back in this game. Biden has, he's going to drive on Kirinko. Kicks it into Bester from the corner. Bester off the front rim. Cook with the rebound. Gives it to Robinson here. Robinson in transition. Great recovery by the Lasers. Robinson drives over to Moroz. Moroz driving. Kicks it over to Kirinko for a long three. Off the front of the rim. Wags gets the rebound, and here come the Lasers. Long pass to Bester on the right wing. Back to Stuckey. Back to Wags. Wags is going to drive. Wags with a beautiful deuce. He's like a football, like a running back, the way he went that in. Protecting the ball. So it's 46-24. Lasers. Robinson now to Moroz. Moroz in the corner, guarded by McStorley. Kirinko back to Robinson, top of the key. Robinson guarded by Bodden. Robinson's going to drive. Robinson. The basket on the foul on Bodden. That's going to be three on Bodden. A great move by Robinson. And I think that's going to be one of the keys, is getting their big men in trouble. So the smaller Sobiech comes in, but he plays big. Sobiech has 6 points tonight, 1-3 and three free throws. Robinson at the line. First free throw from Robinson. Yes, from Robinson. It finds its way in. Robinson struggling from the charity line tonight, but he gets that one. 9 points for Robinson now. Oh, another three. Off the rebound from Robinson. I didn't even have time to look. They didn't say who drained it either. So it's 49-27. Robinson has it. Robinson to Cook. Cook underneath. Off the glass and in for Cook. Nice little kiss by Cookie. So it's back to 20 points. 49-29, 14-14 and counting. Wags driving again. And Wags, oh, it doesn't fall. He gets his own rebound. And no, that was Stuckey on the rebound. Stuckey gets the bucket. Stuckey, they're pronouncing it. 51-29, Lasers. 13-58 and counting. Robinson driving. On Bester. Robinson gets fouled. That might be four on Bester. It's either him or McSorley. I'm thinking it's Bester. It's Bester. Ben better Bester, this fourth foul. So he knows he's coming out. Robinson's going to come back to the line. He misses the first. Or no, he makes the first. Excuse me. Second free throw for Robinson, 51-30 in favor of the Lasers, 13-51 remaining. Second one is good for Robinson. So 51-31, 13-48 and counting. Stuckey dribbling up slowly, guarded by Check. Man defense for the black shirts, and they're all whites. Lasers in their navy uniforms. And we got a foul there on a moving pick. That's going to go against McSorley. It's only his first foul, fourth team foul. And Check will inbound to Cook, guarded heavily by Wags. I'm surprised they're putting that much pressure on with such a big lead. Robinson looking, kicks it over to Moroz. Moroz on the left wing, dribbling around. He's going to drive. He's going to take it himself. Oh, he misses the wide open shot, but gets his own rebound. A little too hard on that. I think he was surprised he had so much room to work with. Now Robinson moving in. Robinson, and that's a little short. Rebounded by McSorley. McSorley's going to dribble. Pass this to Koenig in the game now. Koenig to Wags on the left wing, guarded by Robinson. Wagner giving instructions. I think he's clearing out. Nope, he gives it to McSorley here. McSorley into the left wing to Sobiech for a long three. Yes, for Sobiech. Boy, he sure made that look easy. 9 points for him on two trays. So 54-31, 12:42 and counting. Robinson to Cook. Cook with a jumper. Yes, from Cook. And we have a timeout. Blackshirts trailing 54-33. And, you know, during the timeout, I want to qualify. Yes, we expected Kettle Moraine to come out dancing tonight, but we also expected the Blackshirts to do the same, winning three of four games and two of these victories against top-ranked teams, several top-ranked teams, Sussex Hamilton, Nathan Hale, and then a big win against Muskego, who crushed us earlier in the season. So we really felt that there was great momentum for our Blackshirts here, but it's just not translating. They've come out a little stronger offensively in the first half, but not doing enough, not able to do enough on defense to stop this Laser attack. Laser's answering point for point, and then some. It's really, if we look at the score, it's like if we were looking at a second half score, it's like 15-13. Lasers, which is all they really need to do to win this game, is just match points. Wagner now to Sobiech. Man defense still. McSorley looking for something. He's got Wags in the left wing, guarded by Robinson. He's going to go baseline to Robinson. But oh, an errant pass, but great recovery by Sobiech. I thought that was going out of bounds. Stuckey has it, top of the key. Kicks it over to McSorley. McSorley, top of the key. Gives it to Koenig. Koenig guarded by Morales. Beautiful spin move by Koenig. Can't get the basket. Morales fights for the rebound. Inbounds it to Check. Here come the Blackshirts. Great play. Great hustle by Morales. Check's going to go for the layup. The basket. Oh, they're calling a charge on Check. That's three on Check. I really didn't think he had position there. Blackshirt Nation was expecting a made basket and a free throw. But at least compared to the other charge call, that one made sense. Formationally, Wags driving to the basket again. He's got room. Oh, he misses the easy layup. Krinkle fights it away, but a foul will go against Wags. Wags doesn't like the call, and it just shows you his competitive spirit. He's not finished playing. That's only his first foul, too. So Wags, you know, he plays in control for the most part. Inbound to Robinson. Robinson guarded by Koenig deep in our own backcourt. Here comes Robinson. He's going to go around a crinkle pick. Oh, loses the ball, stripped away. And now Wags has it, kicks it over to Stuckey. Stuckey misses, but Wags is there for the rebound. I'm blasted. No. I think we have a 3-second call or a travel. I don't get the call. No, a charge. Koenig gets called for some pushing underneath. Three on Koenig, so he earns his fouls coming off the bench. Check has it now on the left wing, now moving more to the middle, going around some crinkle picks. And the ball gets stripped away off of Robinson. Great defense by Koenig. And that's why Coach Hughes likes him. He might get more playing time than many of the starters. Wags has it. Wags is yet to be substituted. Guarded by Robinson again. 54-33, 11 minutes remaining in the second half here. Lasers in command here. Full control. Oh, pass stolen by Robinson. Here's Robinson. No, that is not a charge. Do not call that a charge. They call it a charge. I can't believe it. That's a ridiculous call. There was no position on that. I can't believe that. This is why they have me broadcasting, so I don't get kicked out of the games as a fan, but that was just unconscionable. He had no position whatsoever. So we have a stoppage in time here. I guess there was a substitution. Inbounded to Wagner. Wagner guarded by Morose. Here comes check on the double. Wagner dribbles around it beautifully. Hanging on to the ball, top of the key. Wags is going to drive to the basket again. Wags limp. Oh! Morose gets called for the foul. I thought there was ball there, but instead he gets the foul. So Wags will go to the line. That's three on Morose. Wagner back at the line, shooting two. So just, you know, the way the Blackshirts played these last three games against some really great teams, just out of character for them tonight. Would like to see Coach Richter use his bench more here in the second half. And two bunnies for Wags. It's 56-33. Check has the ball in the left wing. Goes around a crinkle pick. Oh, he loses control there. He hangs on. Gives it to Duncan, but it's knocked out of bounds on Koenig. And another whistle here. I'm trying to see what's going on. Oh, they call a foul on Koenig. That's four on Alex Koenig. Again, it looked like Koenig knocked the ball away. So they've already gotten into the bonus, the Lasers here, with 10:25 remaining. So let's see what Duncan can do from the line off the bench here. Duncan in for Robinson. First one's good for Duncan. His first point of the game. Duncan had a beautiful three the other night against Muskego. Some great defensive play as well. Second free throw from Duncan. And that one rolls in. So two for Duncan. It's 56-35 in favor of the Lasers. Stout's going to come in now. Stout's going to come in for check now, so they're going to play a bigger lineup here. Stout's going to guard Roman Thompson in the game now for the Kettle. And now we got a full court press from the Blackshirts. They double on Wags. Wags does get the ball eventually, guarded by Morose. Wags is probably going to go big. He's going to go all the way again. Nope, kicks it back to Stuckey. Stuckey, errant pass, but Thompson recovers, guarded by Stout. Wags has the ball. Back to Thompson, guarded closely by Stout now. So Richter is taking the gloves off. Oh, Stout caused the loose ball, but Wags recovers. And now here comes Garvin. Garvin with that nice little spin move. He's still going to go all the way. Nope, we're calling 3 seconds against the Lasers. So good defensive stand for the Blackshirts with 9:53 remaining. Got to score quickly here. And Wags guarding Cook closely here on the inbound. He backs off now. So, again, no quarter spared by the Lasers here. Trying to ensure this revenge victory. Karinko for a long three. Yes, Tommy Karinko! His second try of the night. And a timeout is called. It looks like the Lasers call it. With 9:33 remaining, Blackshirts trailing 56-38. But on a 5-0 run here. It's just a 30-second timeout, so we'll stick around. Actually, let's do station identification, Calvin.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
So we're back here, Blackshirt Arena, where the Blackshirts are looking to turn their fortunes around on a 5-0 run, trailing 56-38 against the Laser team that's just been dynamite tonight in really all aspects of the game. The Lasers will inbound against a full-court Blackshirt press. I don't know if it's going to be a zone or man press. So it's nice. We got the Twin Towers, the Empire State Street buildings of Stout and Karinko, childhood neighbors and friends. Stuckey's kicking the inbound now. Wags is going off to the wing. Stuckey over to Thompson, guarded by Stout. And now back to Stuckey, guarded by Duncan. Sobiech has it, guarded by Cook. Back to Thompson back to Wags, guarded by Robinson, back in the game. Wags drives, nowhere to go, kicks it out to Thompson. Stout gets a backcourt foul there. And I think, if that's a fifth team foul, Stout's first foul. I think with an 18-point deficit, 9 minutes remaining, I think you got to get the Lasers and the bonus and see if they can maybe miss a few. Stuckey will inbound. They find Thompson. Back to Stuckey. He's driving. Stuckey loses control of the ball. Duncan has it. Duncan's trying to go coast to coast. Dishes to Stout. Stout can't get the handle. Thompson picks it up. I think Duncan was expecting great block there by Robinson. Robinson gets the foul, though. That'll be his third, I believe. Second or third. That is his third. And a 16 foul. It's a shooting foul, so Joe Bodden will shoot. So yeah, Duncan had a nice drive, and he had a look at the basket. And I think Stout was expecting him to just lay it in, but at the last second, he passed it off. First free throw from Bodden is a miss. His second missed free throw of the night. So let's see if the Black Shirts can get a big rebound here. Still trailing by 18. 8:51. Second free throw, and that's in. So it's 57-38, 8:50 and counting. Cook with the ball on the inbound. Wags guarding closely. Cooks goes around one screen. Back to Robinson here in the right backcourt. Robinson looking for cutters. Gets it over to Duncan. Now to Krinko. Krinko with a long three. Oh, at the front of the rim. Looks like it was going to fall there, but Sobiech with a rebound. Stuckey with the ball. Guarded by Robinson. Over to Wags. Wags is going to drive again. No, kicks it over to Stuckey. Wide open. And you know that's not going to end well. Stuckey drains another three. 16 points for Stuckey on four threes. 60-38. Here comes Cook on the long drive. Euro step. Can't make it. Karinko with the rebound. Kicks it to Robinson. Robinson with a long three. Off the front of the rim. Rebounded by Stuckey. So nothing falling for the Black Shirts here. And Bowden for the nice little layup there. A great little pass there from Stuckey on the transition. Robinson comes across. Robinson top of the key. Wide open three. That's not going to fall, and it's going to be out of bounds. It already hits the wire on the top there holding the basket. The wire in the post. As we see Connor Boston helping us with some photography and video courtside, throwing the ball to the official. So inbounded Wags. 62-38. Lasers continuing to pour it on. Oh, and a kick on Robinson. Deflecting a Wags pass into Bodden. Stuckey will inbound under the Laser basket. Inbound to Wags. Beautiful little cut there, Wags. He left Robinson in the wind there. Wags is also a standout in football. So we've seen him terrorize teams, contributing to a state championship for the Lasers in their division. Cook pulls up a long two up front of the rim. And it's rebounded by Stuckey. Stuckey passes down to Thompson over to now Wags. No, Wags' three doesn't go. Rebounded by Thompson. Back to Bodden for three. Bodden, that's going to fall. A brick knocked away. And Karinko gets the rebound to Duncan. Duncan driving. Oh, beautiful fake by Duncan. What a play. Over the 6'6", Bodden. Trey Duncan. 4 points for him now. What a play by Duncan. That was pretty. 64-48, 6:26 remaining. And a timeout's being called, I believe, by the Lasers. So we'll take a timeout, too, and see what the Black Shirts can do with 6.5 minutes left, trailing 64-40 to the Lasers. Don't go away.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. We talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
Okay, we're back at Blackshirt Arena, where the Lasers of Kettle Moraine have made a very big statement here tonight, beating the Blackshirts 64-40. Really a complete reversal of the last game, where the Blackshirts bested the Lasers by a 20-point deficit. Let's see if the Blackshirts can narrow the gap here. A long pass, an errant pass, but Bodden recovers. Bodden back to Sobiech. And another three. Wow, the toilet shot. That spun around forever. 12 points for Sobiech on three threes. 67-40 Lasers. Cook now guarded by Wags. Cook with a long three. Yes, from Cook. 67-43. Bodden gets the inbound, hands it over to Wagner, guarded by Maras, crossing half court. Wags going to try to make another look at the basket, and he goes in unmolested. Wow. At will he drives, the 5'9 junior. And Wags is putting on a clinic for the Kettle. Cook now, guarded closely by Wags. It's really become a one-on-one showdown here. Cook's now driving. Wags gets called with the foul here. And it looks like Cook will go to the line to shoot 1-on-1. That's the second foul on Wagner. So, 26-point lead, 5:20 remaining. And again, the Lasers showing no quarter here after a tough loss at home to the Blackshirts earlier in the season. Cook makes the first, rolls around, and finds its way in. Points for Cook, looking to make it 22. And the second shot's good for Cookie. 69-45, 5:19 and counting. Wags has the ball, man defense. Sobiech driving on Moros. Sobiech all the way out to Bodden. Bodden driving now, passed out. Bodden with a nice little kiss, gets his own rebound. Oh, and a great tip by Stuckey. Really excelling in all aspects of the game here. 71-45. Some poor boxing out there by the Blackshirt defense. So they're showing a little fatigue, I would say. Karinko's going to drive. Turns around. Drives again. Karinko at the bunny. Strong move by Karinko. 71-47. 4:36 remaining. Wags to Sobiech to Bodden. Top of the key. As we see Justin Ben Dixon taking his seat. Here comes Bodden again, driving on Karinko. Karinko doing a good job cutting off base. Back to Thompson. And now I think, I would hope, KM's getting into the Carolina offense. As I say that, Wags drives in. He gets called out a charge. Happy for the call of your Blackshirt hand, but not happy if you're a fan of the sport. Very little contact there by Wags. That's only his third foul. Wags is going to stay in. Bester's going to come in for Roman Thompson, who put in some great minutes. I wish I had a stat on the number of offensive rebounds Thompson had, as well as defensive, but Thompson, no doubt, has been a factor for the Lasers off the bench. Check has the ball over to Cook. Cook guarded by Wags. Cook, a long jumper, and that's Stout with the rebound, fighting his way out, and he gets fouled there. I think that's Sobiech pushing Stout out. So Stout's going to go to the charity stripe. One of his strengths. He was 4-for-6 against McGuanago and 2-for-2 against against Sussex Hamilton, I believe. First free throw from Stout. Oh, and off the bat, almost found its way in, but nope. So the first one, first miss for Stout. Stout looking to get his first point of the night here with 4:02 remaining. Second one, that one's off too. So two misses for Stout. So 71-47, and it's really, it's been the story of the Blackshirts tonight. A lot of missed opportunities, a lot of missed free throws. Look at that, a beautiful dish to Wags. Wow, Sobiech looked like a quarterback on that pass. 73-47. Here comes Cook. Ball stripped away by Wags, and KM ends up with it. Stuckey has the ball. Long pass to Wagner. Wagner kicks out to Bester. Bester for three. That's good for Bester. Five for him. Bester's had a lot of pine time tonight because of foul trouble. So 76-47 Lasers. Krinkle underneath. Krinkle battles. Oh, a great little reverse, but it doesn't fall. Trouble with the rebound. Knocked away by Robinson, but they can't save it in for the Blackshirts. Wow, great effort there by Robinson. And check diving for the loose ball, but that was rolling at a bowler's pace. Would have knocked some pins over. So James Smith's going to come in for Evan Stout. Stout gets a handshake from Richter on a good effort. And with the Laser victory being imminent, I'm going to give James Smith some time tonight. And Bester, Coach Hughes calls timeout for the Lasers, and I think they'll probably be putting their backups in to give them some touches there. With 3:10 remaining, and I think it's just a 30-second timeout. So I wouldn't be surprised if Coach Richter takes all of his starters out. Tough night for the Blackshirts. Byron Cook with 22 points, normally a good night. Daniel Robinson with 11, but not much production there. 4 points from Duncan, 8 points from Karinko, including two trays, but that's really the only scoring we've seen tonight. Blackshirts without Teddy Oka, who gives them meaningful time and support in the paint, defense and otherwise. So Sobiech for another three. That one's off an air ball, and Wags is going to get called for the over the back against Cook. Wags has not finished playing, and he's going to be a shooting foul for Cook. So more subs coming in. Brighton Staub will relieve Daniel Robinson. Pausegui Perez will come in. He'll come in for check. And some wholesale changes too for the Lasers, I believe. Drew Wagner finally exits the game to a loud ovation from Laser Nation. Wagner leaves with 5, 7, 9. 19 points for Wags. And he did his damage in all other facets of the game. Amazing defense, great passing, great leadership. The fact that he held Tyron Cook almost single-handedly to 22 points and was pretty much covering him from both ends of the court. So this is his first real rest tonight other than the halftime break for Wags. First free throw for Cook here. And it falls for Cook. Now with 23 points. 3:03. Staub's going to come in. Now the subs come in. For both teams. But it's a lot of the same familiar faces here. Although Will Dunham comes back in. He had a little playing time. Roman Thompson remains in. Stuckey remains in. Sobiech, that's Garvin, actually. Sobiech's going to come out now. Garvin, another very impressive player off the bench. Cook makes a second free throw. So Pausegui and Evan Stout will come in for Cook and Karinko. So it's now what we used to call in freshman football the fifth quarter, where the backups get to play with 3 minutes remaining. Although it's a lot of the same Laser lineup you see here. Stuckey, Thompson, Dunham for a three. That misses everything. And Duncan ends up with the rebound. Duncan now dribbling. Duncan to Pausegui. House of Guy showing some interesting, some attractive ball handling there. Oh, a little dish to stop, but denied by Dunham. Really not much of a look there. Segui forced that one in. 2:33 remaining. Stuckey over to McSorley. McSorley drives, kicks it out to Garvin. Garvin with a little kiss over Stout, but he misses it. Good face check by Stout. And a fight for the ball gets recovered by McSorley all the way back at the KM bench. So this team really... Oh, an alley-oop attempt. Oh, and it goes. Stout finally gets the rebound. So there is no breaks here. They do not let up here. And a whistle's being called. Black Shirts will call timeout, a full timeout. And we'll take a timeout here, too, as we wrap things up for the Black Shirts. And stick around for the post game and more announcements. Giovanni, actually, no, we're going to stay here. They're going to play. No timeout, just a sub. So Giovanni Rios Ibarra comes in. Who's been with this program now since freshman year. Oh, he misses the pass from Stout. And Will Dunham gets his first bucket there. So a tough break. I know the Blackshirts like to get Rios Ibarra set up for a shot here because of how hard he works, how hard he motivates this team. Standing only 5'6". But if we're measuring hard, he's easily the biggest kid in the team. Long shot by Check misses. Rios Ibarra chases for it, but it ends up in... the hands of Braden Phelan, the Irishman, now in for the Lasers. And Andrew Ishag comes in. And they kick it out to Garvin. Garvin guarded by Stout. And Stout draws a travel there. So good job by Stout. 1:23 remaining, 78-49. James Smith will inbound. Smith's got a good exterior shot. And he's best known for his play on the diamond. Hopefully he'll be joining Coach Stillman's team, who's my guest tomorrow, along with North baseball coach Don Radomski and This Week in Waukesha. Long shot from Staub. Yes! Brighton Staub with a beautiful tray with a big hand in his face. That was a big lad covering him, so quite a shot there. Now Dunham left all alone for three. Dunham returns the favor. 5 points for him now. 81-52. 55 seconds of counting. Staub to Paul Segui. Segui drives, but he's stripped away by Dunham. Dunham feeds a long layup. It misses. Knocked out of bounds by Paul Segui. That was Phelan trying for the layup there. 32, Trey Kowalski in the game now. His younger brother, Teague, really impressed him, or Tige, I believe it is, in the JV1 game. An unfortunate loss for the heartbreaking loss, they say, is a... The JV1 Blackshirts team came from a 9-point deficit to win that game. Oh, and an errant pass from Phelan, the older Kowalski. Gives the Blackshirts the ball back with 33 and a half seconds left, trailing 81-52. Staub with the ball, top of the key, 25 seconds and counting. Staub looking to drive, nowhere to go. Looking for Paul Segui. Paul Segui has it, 18 seconds. Paul Segui moving around, kicks it to Smith. And Smith gets called for a travel. So tough way to end the game for this reserve squad for the Blackshirts, as I think the Lasers will now run the clock out. 11 seconds and counting. So not the night the Blackshirts had planned, but no surprises either. Knowing Coach Trevon Hughes, his Lasers, and of course, Drew Wagner. So Laser Nation is on its feet. Very happy applause. So congrats to the Lasers and to Drew Wagner. I know we get to see him for one more year, but as much as we like him, we like seeing him on the losing end. Not tonight. So final stats for the Blackshirts. Bucks. 24 points for Tyron Cook, who leads all Blackshirts. 11 points for Daniel Robinson. 4 points for Trey Duncan. Brighton Staub with three. And Tommy Karinko with eight. Those are your only scores for the Blackshirts tonight. The Blackshirts return, hosting crosstown rivals Waukesha West. And if you remember, Blackshirts won a close one against West at West. So again, this will be an even bigger grudge match, as Dominic Hill and the Wolverines invade Blackshirt Arena. So be sure to stick around for that action. Coverage starts at 6:30. Again, tomorrow morning, my guest 8 a.m., our Waukesha South varsity baseball coach, John Stillman, in his first year, and the Waukesha North veteran baseball coach, varsity coach, Don Radomski. It's a first-time meeting of these two coaches, contemporaries, both children of the 80s like myself. So expect a fun morning and learning a lot about our baseball programs and so much more. So join us at 8 tomorrow morning, followed by James Santel's Morning Cannolis. And remember to tune in 6:30 on Tuesday, where the Black Shirts will host the Wolverines at 7 p.m. and look to start a new winning streak against their most bitter of rivals, I believe. So, Connor, any final comments from you tonight about our Black Shirts?
It was unfortunate, but I think we just need to learn. We need to take what we learned. Honestly, I think that we still have, like, this season has been a net positive.
Yeah.
But I just feel like the sometimes, you know, when we don't get certain plays that go our way, we don't get certain calls that go our way, it affects the mindset of the players, you know, and it affects their execution. And I think that's what happened here. I think that there was just no time or no point where we could get that rolling. And the entire game, they had good shots. They were competitive for the first part of the first half.
Yeah, first half, you know, was a great first half.
Exactly. So it's unfortunate, but, you know, you do get these games like this, you know, especially when you have just only like, what, 9, I think, or 10 players on the roster in total, or a little bit more than that.
Yeah, without TAC, that brings them down to 11 players.
11 players. Okay.
Again, with a typical 7, maybe 8-player rotation, but mostly 7-player rotation Coach Richter has. You would like to see him use the bench more and give some of these star players a blow, even if it's just for 30 seconds in the first half or a minute.
Gives
them perspective, gives them a chance to see the court, maybe identify something different that they're not seeing while they get the ball in their hands.
Exactly.
And you know, talk with the coach, settle down, but also get fresh legs. And I think that we need to do more of that, as well as giving our juniors in the lineup and the rest of the players, giving them some touches and some exposure.
Yeah.
Because it's nice to be able to go deeper in the bench. Like, you look at the Lasers and you saw a couple guys look out that, you know, I mean, jokingly, they sit a little close to the table. They don't look very athletic, but they surprise you. They are. They got great footwork. They shoot the lights out of the ball. They do all the little things well. They fight for rebounds. They play great defense. Some of the spin moves from those bigger kids.
Exactly.
Like Garvin and like Sobiec, you know, just really like those guys should be starting for other schools. So, and I think we'd love to see more of that from Black Shirt Nation. And I think that's there. And I think that just comes with giving our boys more touches out there.
Exactly. And I think the defense calls need to be a little bit more reactive and spontaneous. I feel like it's a lot of reliance on man in those situations, you know, and if you're down and they're scoring a lot of drives or getting a lot of baskets, you know, and you decide to just switch all of a sudden to a 1-3-1, or you decide to just switch to a full court, you know, using defense as a way to compensate when your offense just isn't there. I feel like, you know, that reliance on going to the man, on trying to make something happen, I think causes it, you know, retroactively to not.
Yeah.
And so, but it's all not doom and gloom.
A good point, Connor, is that, knowing how well they're shooting the ball from the perimeter, it would be nice to see them switch to a 1-3-1, rest the legs a little, but also put some pressure on their exterior shooting, and you know, as well as providing some more support in the paint, where, you know, Bodden and, well, of course, Wagner and McSorley, you know, those guys did a job there in the paint. You know, we defended well, but they got so many offensive rebounds. And they limited our offensive rebound.
And I just
think we need to mix it up a little.
Yeah, and I think this is also just a testament to how well the Lasers play. They played pretty perfectly this game.
They sure are. You know, we have a guy like Trevon Hughes distilling his wisdom from his own high school career, as well as his career at the collegiate level at the Badgers and professionally at the international level. Oh, that's great ball over there. It may not be NBA, but it's professional ball, and you're playing against other professionals. So that's they're very fortunate to have a coach like that in their program, developing those kids. And I like that he's got a 15-man lineup. So, cause you just don't know in the next year or two, which one of those kids are going to. And so, you like to see a lot of that. So, a lot of big takeaways tonight. And again, they do miss Tack from having that that size underneath, and just, you know, all the other things he does defensively, and giving some of the other guys some rest time. And but I thought too, without him, I thought that they had the horses in place to maybe pull this off. So just, yeah, the buckets weren't falling, and we just weren't counteracting, I think, on the great defense that they were playing. So, and I think because the rest of the team has really come together. Like Ethan Check didn't have a single point tonight, mm-hmm. and he's averaged over 10 points the last two games against great teams.
Exactly.
And so, you know, there were some high expectations for Ethan tonight. You know, again, a solid game overall. Ethan Check always comes to dance. But we would, you know, some of those touches he has in the paint haven't fallen. So, yeah. So, you know, tough loss, but you know, we lick our wounds, and I forget that World War One general that Marv Levy likes to quote. You know, I'm bloody, but I'm not dead. So I'll just lie here a while and rise again. And so look forward to seeing the Black Shirts coming back with a vengeance on Tuesday against crosstown rivals, the Wolverines of Waukesha, and Dominic Hill, who's got a little bit of Wags in him too. He plays a solid game. And so expect another great game, and hopefully the Black Shirts will work on some of these coaching moments tonight. And, give us another great show. They like they have three out of the last four games. So terrific. So, hey everyone, thanks for joining us tonight. We'll see everybody for coffee tomorrow morning. This week in Waukesha at 8 o'clock, and then for morning cannolis at 9, which I'm so we've got your morning breakfast brunch all planned out for you. So look forward to seeing everybody. Have a great night. And please remember, safety is everyone's responsibility. On behalf of Connor Boston from Chicago and myself, downtown Donnie Brown, bye for now and see ya. Thanks, Calvin. Thank you, Calvin.
Yep. See you in the morning, Don.
We'll see you in the morning, man. See you.
See ya.
Choice. You can have it. Now, obviously, you say that they're being, enrolled in these programs without their knowledge, and they're not choosing. But we as Americans, we love our choice, Phil. We love choosing between, well, something bad and something worse.
You know, it's crazy to me. Like, what is choice in healthcare, right? You have a heart attack. You aren't sitting around being like, no, take me to that hospital. Take me to this hospital. Oh, crap, I have the wrong insurance for my coverage. Oh, I get brought to this hospital, but, I'm sorry, I need emergency surgery, but the anesthesiologist isn't in network. This is dumb, right? The choice that we want is simply to choose the doctor or the hospital that we want to go to whenever we want to go to it. And when you create these kinds of systems, whether it's Medicare Advantage or ACO REACH, the only way they make money is by limiting your choice. And so the ironic thing is traditional Medicare, everybody takes it. And so you actually have the most choice if you just stick with a traditional Medicare plan, except now that we have people enrolled, auto-enrolled in these ACO REACH programs, they're losing their choice, even though they're actually in traditional Medicare plans. It's a bad deal for our seniors.
That's crazy. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show. We're here with Dr. Phil Verhoef. He's the president of Physicians for a National Health Program. Their website, PNHP.org. We'll get links out on social media how you can do this. Now, for me, I've always been a believer in just basic, simple insurance pooling. One big pool, Medicare pays the bills. We should have one giant pool. And what's interesting to me is we, as a country, we have all these hodgepodge systems. Oh, I love my private plan until I go to use it. We've got Medicaid for the poor and the indigent. We've got Medicare for the elderly. And then we get, privateers and profiteers screwing over people who are healthy enough to go to get jobs. We spend so much money on healthcare. There's got to be a better way of doing this.
Yeah, there is. It's just we've got a bunch of moneyed interests that don't want us to pursue that, right? I mean, if we look at countries with government-sponsored insurance programs, it's simple. Their overhead costs are low. They cover everything for everybody. People don't have the threat of, my insurance doesn't cover this doc or this procedure. I mean, honestly, there's so much that we like about traditional Medicare. You don't have to deal with all these prior authorizations. You don't deal with crazy narrow networks. It pays the bills. And so, we sort of would make the argument that that's what everybody should have. I totally agree with you. A risk pool of 350 million Americans is the best way to do this. There is simply no reason to think that that's going to result in you know, anything worse for everybody.
Now, and here's where we may disagree. Here's where we may disagree. I don't care if this one giant pool is public or private. I really don't. If you have one big one, you got one CEO, that's one hand taking from the cookie jar. We've got a system where we've got literally thousands of CEOs digging into the cookie jar. So for me, all I want is one big pool where everyone's covered. And that if I do have a heart attack, I don't have to go flipping through my phone looking for a coupon.
You know, the way I look at it, the reason I push for a public system is that it's all about accountability, right? Do we have any accountability with a private company? No. I mean, they are not obliged to tell us anything about the choices they make or how they spend their money. At least with a publicly run insurer, we have the possibility of being able to hold them accountable.
No, this is we absolutely agree on this, which is why, you know, I'm old enough to remember we used to have community hospitals.
Yeah.
Oh, that's gone. That's a thing of the past. Yep. You know, we used to do these things for ourselves, but there's been a long program of convincing us that we are bad for ourselves, that we need a corporate master. And it's just very bizarre to me.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more.
So do you see anything legislatively that is hopeful? I mean, I know during the Trump years, we had the whole repeal and replace, you know, and then during the Obama years, 1,000 times a repeal. Do you have any hope that we're going to move to this one pool? Or is this I got friends who tell me it's a pipe dream. Is it a possibility at some point?
I think we're fighting this fight because we believe it is a possibility at some point. But I think that we're playing the long game here, right? That's what we want to see ultimately. But in the meantime, we want to do as much as we can to actually protect Medicare right now, right? Protect the public part of it that we have. Let's limit and eliminate privatization of it. Let's work to improve the Medicare that we have for our seniors. Why does a senior need to get supplemental insurance? Why do they need to get separate coverage for hearing and dental? There's so much we could do to actually make the fundamental Medicare program even better, even before we expand it to everybody else. And these things aren't exclusive. So,
excellent point.
You know, I don't see it happening soon, but I certainly think there's a lot that we can do that hopefully we can come to some bipartisan agreement on.
So let me ask you this, because you're the expert here, obviously, because I've said a number of times that I think you kill these Advantage plans, these privatized plans, you reclaim that money back into the pool that you could actually, you could cover granny for vision and dental and hearing and the things that they need. And we could fix problems, because look, there are some problems with traditional Medicare. But I'll tell you, when my grandmother was alive, if you would have threatened to take her Medicare, she'd have beat you with her cane and you would have deserved it.
Yeah. No, it's true. I think there's so much we could do. But I'll tell you, you know, it's really hard for people to actually see the difference between traditional Medicare and these Medicare Advantage plans. They engage in such deceptive advertising that it ends up being really confusing. You can look at the mailers they send out. They look like they're coming from the government. It's really just insurance company propaganda trying to get you to buy their product so they can make more money off of you. But it's, you know, that privatization threat, I think, is a real threat to the integrity of
That's an excellent point, because, you know, it's the same thing we see with charter schools. It's the same thing we see across these privatization schemes. These corporations send out slick mailers and, you know, all kinds of propaganda and all kind of information, whereas the public school doesn't, the Medicare doesn't. It's the playing field. They talk about competing, but the playing field is nowhere remotely close to fair.
Yeah. Well, and more than that, you know, it's not fair, because none of these privatized companies, they don't want sick people. They want no part of taking care of sick people, which is, of course, ironic, because that's why people get insurance. And so what it does is it de facto puts all the sick people onto the public programs and, you know, exacerbates inequities that may already exist. It's crazy.
So last line of questioning I've got for you, what should people be doing in this moment? I've got, you know, folks emailing me saying, we've got to stop. Yeah. Biden's got to stop this ACO REACH program. Got to close this down. I've been saying for years, we got to shut down these Advantage plans. How do we go about it? What do we do? What are the marching orders, Phil?
Yeah, right now it's, you know, we're targeting the ACO REACH plan. So we're saying, you know, call your senator, call your congressperson, tell them this is not okay. Tell them you don't have any oversight over this, so you need to pressure the president to stop these ACO REACH programs. we feel like these are the final nail in the coffin, that if these are allowed to take over, we could potentially see all of traditional Medicare be effectively privatized. So we really want to target and eliminate this ACO REACH program. And while you're at it, call them and tell them to say, look, why are you wasting the government's money on Medicare Advantage plans? Let's cut that stuff out. So marching orders, let's fight ACO REACH. Let's fight anything that leads to the privatization of Medicare. And then tell them, let's just make Medicare better. Why not?
There you go. Dr. Phil Verhoef, president of the Physicians for a National Health Program, PNHP.org, the website. We'll get links out on social media. Phil, I appreciate you taking time for us. I'd love to have you come back. I'm sure this is not going away as it continues. Thanks so much.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Thanks, Rick.
Good stuff. Going to take a quick break. Right back with your thoughts. 1-866-416-RICK. 1-866-416-7425. This is The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1950. The cost of a first-class stamp was 3 cents. And starting on this day, one of the options for first-class postage bore the image of U.S. labor leader Samuel Gompers. The British-born Gompers was a founder and longtime head of the American Federation of Labor. The Postal Service authorized 112 million copies of the Gompers stamp. He was not the only labor leader to be commemorated with a stamp. A. Philip Randolph, head of the First National Black Union, the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters, was honored in 1989. 5 years later, George Meany, who led the AFL-CIO for nearly two decades, was featured. Cesar Chavez, the co-founder of the United Farm Workers, was pictured in 2003. In 2013, the U.S. Postal Service issued a series of stamps titled Made in America, Building a Nation. This set of stamps featured 12 historic black and white photos of men and women at work. One was of a welder working on the Empire State Building. Others featured a miner, a textile worker, and a railroad worker. The stamps included 11 images by Lewis Hine, a famous photographer of working people. Secretary of Labor Tom Perez said, "Stamps are like a miniature American portrait gallery. They are an expression of our values and a connection to our past. That's why it's so fitting that this series depicts Americans at work. These iconic images tell a powerful story about American economic strength and prosperity. These men and women and millions like them really did build a nation." If you could pick one working class image to be featured on a stamp, what would you choose? A politician, a labor leader, or a nurse, construction worker, or postal worker? Labor History in Two, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
You know, I can't help but think about, you know, all of the privatization that's happened over the last, you know, 30, 40 years. You know, everything that used to be, you know, when I do the old guy thing with the kids, you know, when I was a kid, yeah, you hear this all the time. You know, the public parks all had, you know, drinking fountains. The pools were accessible. You didn't have to pay to go to a freaking park. Maybe... It's amazing. And look, the healthcare, you know, the local hospital was a community hospital paid for by the local community. And we've lost the accountability of that. But they've sold us these ideas. It's the same thing we're seeing on the education front, the exact same thing. You're going to get shiny doorknobs and all of these promises that they make that they never keep. You know, and the advertising money, and it's, I can't help but think about how much money is wasted on advertising this cyber charter or this charter or this, you know, latest gimmick. It's the same thing with the Medicare, the Advantage plans. You watch those TV commercials. That's not Medicare advertising. Those are corporations trying to figure out how to take your Medicare, your plan, your ability to get insurance and give it to them. so that they can figure out how to take a portion of it from you. That's what that is. It's the same thing with your education dollars. Conservatives right now are trying to get it to where, you know, every child has a backpack full of cash. And opening it up to the wild, wild west of Education Incorporated. So each of those companies are going to go and try and figure out how to get that cash out of you. Knowing that they're defunding their local public schools. Now, my mind has always been, how about we have that one local public school that we fund, we put all the resources into, and as a community, we decide what direction we want that to go and how to spend that money and what programs we need to ensure that to help the community. I know it's true believer kind of stuff, but it's one of those things that makes you go, you know, at some point, we've got to push back. It's angering and it's frustrating to see how easily we're fleeced into some of this stuff and sold into the idea that privatization is always going to be better. Let's go to the phone lines. Got Gary on line one. How are we doing, Gary?
Well, you got me on?
Yes, sir. What's on your mind, brother?
Well, you're going to say here in Minnesota, Paul Wellstone years ago had a single-payer Medicare for everybody type bill. It really didn't go very far, but I used to go over his office, go around and tell people about it. And some people, they say they liked it after they heard what it was about. And then I had a doctor also that did drug research.
Yep.
And pharmaceuticals, he was telling me in the European countries, they limited them to about a 10 to 15% markup. And they tell me a nice way, he said, to invest in... what do you call it, inventing new drugs. And everything's so much better over there in those countries. They all agreed that we have, and they kept their drug prices really low.
Yeah, because they negotiate for it. They actually have a government that wants to help their people. Appreciate the call, Gary.
That.
I appreciate the call. I gotta grab
it. About that research you hear about here, they go get that over in places like Germany and Sweden.
Yep. No, I'm with you. Thanks, Gary. I appreciate the call. I got one more to get to before the top of the hour. Let's get Brian on line three. Brian, how are we doing?
Pretty well. How are you this evening?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to make a few quick comments about Medicare Advantage. Those plans are made to seem so attractive. I'm sitting here. I'm 2 years away from Medicare, and I'm starting to. It's like, maybe I should take an Advantage plan. I have a friend. Aetna's giving him $180 every 3 months. He can go to CVS and buy over-the-counter medicines and stuff. I mean, there's all these little perks and things that make it look so good up front that people don't realize they're going to get jacked on the back end.
Yep. Well, what's that old saying we used to know? If it appears too good to be true, probably is.
Yeah.
This is where we are, and I appreciate the call, Brian. So let me ask you this: what is it that you also find attractive about this? Because they're doing a great sales job. What messages are grabbing you other than that? No, appreciate it. I appreciate the call, Brian. No, this is one of those things that. Again, they advertise this stuff so well. They do such a good job of convincing us that you know there's all these perks, the shiny stuff. It's like at the charter school. It's got a doorknob. It's got a shiny doorknob. You know, and we fall for it. We fall for the glitz. We fall for the trinkets. And I'm glad Brian brought that up. You're going to get jacked on the back end. Because like any good con, they got to sell you first. And this is what they're doing, whether it's education or healthcare or, you know, water. I mean, think about all of the privatization schemes that they've sold us, our water and sewer, our parking authorities, Chicago. Oh, my gosh. You know, my friends in Chicago tell me about their parking problems and how badly they got screwed on the privatization deal. My friends in Pittsburgh, too. You can't have a parade there without paying the parking people. You can't change the bus lines without paying the parking people. Because the profiteers, the privateers, the moneyed people, they know. They know what they're doing. They're fleecing us. And a little bit of campaign cash and you know, maybe some short-term thinking. Because understand, all of these privatization things came with, we're going to give you money so that you can fund other things because we've cut the tax bases so bad.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.